Morning.
Okay, so we can start?
Yes, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Well, welcome everyone to the meeting of the Delta Independent Science Board. I want to remind folks that in accordance with federal, state, and local guidelines to protect public health and safety in response to COVID, this meeting is being conducted entirely via remote access. We'll take written comments and questions if you email them to the email on your screen, disb@deltacouncil.ca.gov. And in your request, please indicate which agenda item you would like to have input on. And then also we'll take oral comments. You can use the raise hand function in Zoom or also send an email as well to the same location. Please wait till you're prompted for public comment, and when you're prompted, give your name and affiliation. So let's move on to the roll call, and I'll call up the names of the Science Board members and also let us know if you have any new declarations on conflict of interest. And Steve Brandt, I have no new declarations. I'm going to go this time in reverse alphabetical order with Lisa.
You caught me by surprise. Lisa Wanger, no new declarations.
Okay, Bob.
Bob Nyman, no new declarations. Caught me by surprise, too.
Diane?
Diane McKnight, no new declarations.
Jade?
I do declare no new declarations.
Hey, Tom?
Tom Holzer, no new declarations.
Tanya?
Anya Heikela, no new declarations.
Joe?
No new declarations.
Virginia?
Virginia Dale, no new declarations.
And Jim?
Jim McLaurin, no new declarations.
And be prepared, next time I'm going to go in random order. So, okay, we're moving on to number two. I guess there's no, let me just talk about the agenda first. Most of the agenda today is going to be talking about getting an update on status on our current reviews and thinking about how we're going to move forward and having a more detailed discussion of our work plan to try and see what we want to accomplish by the end of June. That is really items number 4 and 5, and I'm very likely going to be mixing those a little bit, and because it's very hard to talk about what we are doing and what we plan to do as completely separate items, so just be prepared that they'll likely be merged. If time is available, I don't know how long those conversations will go. We gave it plenty of time, but if there is time available, we also have an update of the Science Action Agenda where they're looking at getting some specific input from us in to help guide their way forward as they move towards the next steps on the Science Action Agenda. I'll start off, are there any public comments on that?
There are none.
Thanks, Edmund. I'll move on to item 2, which is an update by the chair. And first to update you on our California Sea Grant State Fellowships. As you're all aware, that the Delta Stewardship Council currently hosts 4 Sea Grant State Fellows, and we're assigned one of those. Cheryl Patel has been our fellow for the last year. Her appointment officially ends on April 30th. And Jenica Moffitt from California State University at Northridge has started her fellowship on Monday, March 1st. And Cheryl's going to help Jenica get up to speed on what we've been up to and how she can contribute best with us, as they have about a 2-month overlap. And Jenica, are you on? Would you like to give us a 1 or 2 minute introduction of yourself?
Hello, thank you. Yes. Hi, I'm Jenica Moffitt. I am the new Sea Grant Fellow with the Adaptive Management Unit of the Delta Science Program. And I just started this week, so brand new. A little bit of background about myself. I got my bachelor's degree from UC Davis in Environmental Science and Management. While there, I volunteered and worked in Peter Moyle's lab at the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis, and with John Durand and Nicole, and got experience in the Delta, and that was kind of my first experience in science, and fell in love with the Delta and science and monitoring and all that good stuff. And I continued on as a junior specialist, working as a field tech for 2 years after I graduated, and recently, and then went to get my master's at California State University Northridge, working with Casey Terhorst in ecology and evolution, looking at the upside down sea jelly as kind of a model system and asking kind of eco-evolutionary questions. And I'm super excited to kind of return back to the Delta on the downstream end, where I got to do the science. Now I get to learn how to use the science and how it gets used. And I'll be working on projects like the Monitoring Enterprise Review, and I will likely be helping with the Science Action Agenda assessment and the Delta DAPS adaption strategy as well. So I'm super excited to be joining, and it's great to see you all.
Well, welcome to the Delta Independent Science Board. We really, the student fellows are a tremendous asset to us, and we hope that you'll also benefit by working with us, and hopefully it'll be a mutually beneficial arrangement. And we really appreciate your help and look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Me too.
The next item is an update on Delta ISB postdocs. And as I think all of you know, we put in a request to get support for two postdocs to help us achieve our mission. And those things are still in progress. We are largely completed a description of what the postdocs would do, and we're the council is working on trying to get a contract to allow us to recruit those postdocs. I don't know what the timetable is on that, but we'll let you know as we get as we know. The next item is the status of the Bay Delta Science Conference presentations. I think all of you know that the Bay Delta Science Conference, in conjunction with the IEP workshop, is being held remotely this year from April 6th through 9th. In the past, board members have attended that in person. Two or three or four or more board members would attend that full meeting in person. We normally always gave presentations on various things and reviews that we're working on, certainly at the IEP, and I think virtually always at the Bay Delta Conference as well. This year, we won't be doing anything. We did send an abstract on the non-native species review. We sent in an abstract for the to do a panel on the science needs assessment. And then the ESSA, who did the monitoring enterprise component one work for us, also sent in an abstract. None of those abstracts were accepted for oral presentations. And so there is an option to shift to a poster or a pre-recorded oral presentation. And I believe the science needs assessment is not going to pursue their panel or anything beyond that. I believe ESSA is still considering what they're going to do. And in terms of our abstract related to invasive species review, I think we're moving towards going ahead with the one option, which is a pre-recorded presentation. And what that is basically means is your name will be listed, it'll be pre-recorded, and if someone wants to listen to it, they can tap into it. I'm thinking of moving forward with this for two reasons. One is it helps us prepare for the council presentation on the same topic, same sets of slides and so forth. And secondly, it might provide a mechanism for us to communicate our results down the road if we have a pre-recording of what the whole review was about. And hopefully people or stakeholders can tap into that at any time if we refer them to that. So that's sort of the status of that. Any questions on that?
Steve, where would this talk be posted? And I ask primarily because some sites provide a written transcript that makes it very easy to sort of jump around. I'm wondering if it's a site like that.
Edmund, do you know?
I don't have any additional information at this point. We're waiting to be contacted by the organizers with more information, but we can follow up with that after the call.
Yeah, and I think another important question is how long will it remain live, and who's going to host it? Can we move it to our website, or will it be there infinitely, or things like that? We don't want to put the time into it if it's only available for conference registrants for a few days or something like that. Any other input? Okay, we're dealing with the science needs assessment next. And on our February 11th meeting, we did discuss and had board approval, more or less, of the primary recommendations we're making and moving forward. And we suspect we will not be asking for full board input on any other process in this thing. It's one of the ways to cut back on board time commitments. And that Jay and I are going to be presenting an initial report of the recommendations regarding forecasting. We'll be presenting those to DPIC on March 15th at their DPIC meeting. We'll be asking for DPIC to put together a task force that would have their members, senior science members, work with our panel to refine those recommendations and for a more specific recommendations that will go to DPIC in their July meeting. And with that, Tom and Jay in particular have put together and members of the planning team, a 1/2-page document that will be made public and go to DPIC as part of their briefing for this presentation on the 15th. Tom, Jay, anything else you want to add?
I think the discussion of DPIC and the aftermath of that will probably determine the course of how ambitious we want to be with the science needs assessment. We've had some really good discussions with the planning group, broader planning task force, and other folks, as well as really great feedback from you all as well. So. I think it's got a lot more focus than we had a month ago, and that's, I think, going to make it a much better, more useful product, probably. But changing the way people do science is always a hard thing to do.
Tom, anything to add?
No, I agree with Jay's comment about the focus. It is more focused now.
Any questions from the board members? Okay, we also were scheduled, I believe, to do a council presentation in March. We've decided to postpone that. I guess that we were scheduled to do it in February. We decided to, and that was going to be primarily on the results of our formal presentation to them on the results of our invasive species or ecosystem review, but also talk to them about our work plan. And in part, we decided to delay that until we have a more refined work plan, which we'll be talking about a little bit today. So we're currently trying to schedule it for, I think, April or May. So maybe March is still in there, but I don't. Edmund, do you know what the possibilities are?
Yeah, we're looking into April and May, but we're still waiting to hear back on the final date.
Okay, that concludes my updates. Any questions or anything from board members? Okay, Edmund, any public comment on this?
There are none.
Okay, item number 3 is the Delta Stewardship Council and Executive Officer Report, and I believe Amanda's giving that.
Yes, good morning. And thank you. I'm going to just spend a few minutes talking about the March 15th DPIC meeting, which Steve already referenced. And I know a segment of that meeting is going to focus on the science needs assessment and discussing kind of the current set of recommendations and how we would like, or how the ISB would like DPIC to continue to engage in this to help refine the final recommendations that will be in the science needs assessment. So looking forward to updating the DPIC members on that and getting some feedback from them and hopefully some staff who can assist in refining those recommendations. The rest of the agenda is going to focus on, the bulk of the rest of the agenda is going to focus on nature-based climate adaptation. And so at the October DPIC meeting, we had a presentation on Delta Adapts and Bay Adapt, and also on what at that point was the newly issued governor's nature-based solutions executive order. And so we're going to continue that conversation, but kind of shift to adaptation since that is also where Delta Adapts is going. And we're going to have a panel discussion moderated by Andrew Schwartz to talk about different aspects of nature-based adaptation. We'll try and define nature-based solutions and adaptations for the particular panel that we're going to be having. And then we're going to have three panelists. We're going to have Letitia Grenier, who is with the San Francisco Estuary Partnership and who has been really kind of the lead in developing the Delta landscape scenario planning tool. And she'll be talking about kind of that, how that can be helping with adaptation. We're going to have Julie Rentner, who is the president of River Partners, talking about the work that they've been doing in the South Delta, doing like multi-benefit kind of flood projects. And then we're also going to have Amrith Gunasekera, who is the science advisor to the California Department of Food and Ag, talking about the listening sessions that CDFA has been doing over the last couple of months to engage with the farming and ranching community around nature-based solutions. So we're hoping that we can kind of take that panel conversation and have a conversation with the DPIC members about, you know, what or how Delta Adapts can link to other adaptation efforts that are currently underway, such as the state's adaptation strategy and the update of that. And just really kind of start to explore how we can how Delta Adapts can assist and be most useful and relevant to the work that's being done elsewhere as well. And then after that, we're going to have presentations by Laurel Larson and Jess Rudnick. Laurel will be sharing her vision as Delta lead scientist and then introducing Jess to talk about kind of what her work plan and vision is for social science, or how it's evolving rather, and how Jess is hoping to engage with the other DPIC agencies around better integrating social sciences in the Delta. And we're going to try and do all that within 2 hours on March 15th. It's from 1 to 3. Happy to answer any questions that any of you have about the agenda.
So, Amanda, for the new board members and all board members, these things are recorded. Is that correct? And they can be looked at any time in the future?
Correct. Yeah, there will be links from the council's website to the DPIC meeting as well. So, yeah, you can always go back and take a look.
And it has a fast forward option too.
It does. Actually, you can go to the specific agenda item and just click on that one, so you don't have to watch all of it to get to where you want to, what you actually want to see. Yeah.
Any questions? Does that end your report then, Amanda?
I think I just also, unless Susan was going to touch on this, and I don't think so because I don't see her on here. I just wanted to mention that at the council's meeting last week, we also talked about 2021 priorities for the council. There is more information available on the council's website. But, you know, a lot of this year is going to be kind of focusing on priorities that were identified last year, focusing on the Delta Levees investment strategy, almost completing the Delta Plant ecosystem amendment process, focusing on Delta Adapts and moving into the adaptation phase of that. We're also going to be working on an environmental justice issue white paper, which is one of the things that came, one of the outcomes and things identified from the Delta Plan 5-year review that the council conducted a couple of years ago. We have a number of covered actions that are actually active at the moment. So that's always a big focus for the council is working on those. And then another big effort for this year is the Delta Science Proposal Solicitation Notice. Which I imagine Laurel might be discussing in a bit. But anyway, so if you're curious about more of those priorities, I encourage you to look at the council's website. And then I'm also happy to answer any questions as best as I can.
Amanda, I am here.
Oh, great. There you are, Susan.
Hi. And great job on the priorities.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions from the board? All right, any public comment on this, Edmund?
There are none.
All right, thanks, Amanda and Susan. All right, we're going to move into a discussion of items 4 and 5. And I think this is allowed to merge these in some way or form. Item 4 was getting an update on our current Delta ISB reviews. And we were going to talk specifically about the monitoring, the water supply reliability, and the and also to talk about the HABs. And then also item 5 was to look at work plan implementation. In other words, how we move forward from here. But I would like to start that, how we move forward, a little bit to put it in some context, because I think it'll help us get more in-depth discussion of the current reviews we're under, that are underway. And thinking about where to start on this, that, you know, our board has a very specific responsibility, many responsibilities, but one of those is to provide, to review the science in the Delta. And I think many of the board members signed on here because they were inspired to make a difference and to have an impact and to provide their expertise in a worthwhile endeavor and to really help out the Delta in terms of its needs for that scientific review and so forth. And I think that's strong, and that's something that I think is in all of our hearts. The in that regard, the board, I think, also has the desire to be as effective as they possibly can in terms of the time that they put into the board so that they can have the most value per unit effort, which I think is true of anyone in their jobs, but it's certainly true of our board too. Now, one of the things that I think that you may have noticed in all of our recent board agenda items is something called the curtailment of the Delta Board science activities. And I'm going to explain that a little bit for those folks that may not be in the loop, so to speak, is that the board is compensated for its time. The nature of that compensation was pretty consistent for 10 years. Starting in July this past year, the level of compensation and the way compensation was done has dramatically decreased the level of the compensation. And to put it in perspective, what we would normally do prior to this past July is we would have regular board meetings, then often would take 1 to 2 full days. We would meet for a full 8-hour day and then a second 8-hour day. And what that would allow us to do is to really kind of get real in-depth discussions and lengthy discussions of scientific issues. We would bring in panels, we would have debates, we would fully explore and immerse ourselves into these issues over a period of half a day for an issue, and also have a lot of opportunities for public comment on these issues. The compensation that we are now getting has been reduced that compensation for that 8-hour day by 94%. And if we work an 8-hour day, we are making less than minimum wage for California state. And the same can be applied for a 4-hour meeting and so forth. The same is applied that, as most of you know, when you're doing a lot of our work, in fact, about slightly less than half of the work that we do is done by writing and doing research and deeply exploring the scientific topic so that we can do a comprehensive reviews and write reviews on that. That's done offline. It's, as most of you know, that when you do that kind of work, it takes concentrated effort. It can't be done 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It takes 3, 4, 5, 8 hours of concerted effort to make significant progress on these topics. What that effectively has done with our current compensation is that effectively board members are volunteering much of their time. And and I understand that each of the board members, that their free time, so to speak, is in heavy demand and competitive demand. They are experts in their field, and I'm sure being pulled a number of different ways. And I really appreciate the amount of in essence, volunteer, virtual volunteer time that they are putting into these efforts. And it's been extremely valuable for us, and I appreciate all that that they have done. But effectively, what this has done is reduce the overall level of effort that that the board is putting in on topics. And so what we would like to do, I'm getting a sense that what this in generally normally does is it makes the time that board members have being in danger of being spread too thin on any one topic, and being not having enough time to get into depth on any one topic. So I'd like to propose a way forward to try and focus our time in on what really is most important, so we can get the best value per unit time for the board members. Right now, we are in essence working on four reviews: the science needs assessment, the invasive species ecosystem review, we're finishing up, water supply reliability, and the monitoring program. What our practice has been in the past is that anytime a change was made, anytime edits were made, anytime a communication product was made, it was brought back to the full board for input and discussion and revision, often writing as a group and so forth. And that does tend to take a lot of time. So what I'm proposing is the following. One is we, as far as the full board participation is, that we consider the invasive species complete. We not bring it back to the full board. You have approved the content of the invasive species. It will now be edited, finished off, and communications products, hopefully made by the by board staff, and completed and distributed, so that it would not be back to the, brought to the full board. You can take it off your table. Now we're down to three. So I'm thinking that the science needs assessment also has been completed. You have approved the content of the recommendations going forward, and unless there's some other version that somewhere down the road we would entail, that we will call that complete. So that brings your focus down to two reviews: water supply reliability and the monitoring program. And what I'm proposing also as part of this effort is that we would, for the period between now and June, that we focus on finishing those two reviews. And we also focus on exploring ways forward on how we can be more effective. How we can organize ourselves, what sort of reviews we do, thinking about the future that we might implement in July about how we can be most effective. So one part of the discussion is open discussions on how to move forward. That could be part of HABs. It could be part of a variety of things. But the other part, to focus in on the two reviews. And I'm only going to ask board members to sign up for one of those reviews. So as far as individual board member responsibility, I'd like to put forward the option of having 2 5-person writing teams. Writing efforts. They go away. They work on that at their own schedule. They set up a schedule to try and bring back something to the full board by June. Whatever they have to do to get that done, they can make the decisions themselves to do interviews, to not do interviews, to do what they think is the most relevant, and to come back with a product as a target date by our June meeting for full board vote on its approval or not. So 5-member teams, they can divide up, I'll call them teams, I know that's not the correct word, and they can divide up the writing responsibilities or any kind of responsibilities. They will have the council staff assigned to them to do that work. And for you as an individual board member, your responsibility is now focusing on one review, participating in our discussions during our board meetings on process down the road. And that would be the work to June. I think finishing our current reviews I know is a huge challenge because it's there's been a lot of effort put into that. We do want to get those done. I know there's a large deep learning curve for those who have not been involved in those two reviews from the beginning, but I think putting in your time on one of those reviews is what I'm moving forward. Anyway, that's my proposal. I would also propose we only go down, we go back to one meeting a month and not two meetings a month. And we spend those times talking about the future and the future process and stuff like that and information items. So before we get into the debate on that way forward, I'd like to then now go through each of those three areas, including HABs. And I know there's some folks want to give us an up-to-date on where they're at, but put it in that context that if you you don't need to make the decision now, but if you'd be given a few more board members to work on it, had a focused responsibility and a timeline, is it something that's feasible, doable? Just because that'll be kind of where we want to have the discussion. So before we dive into those, is there any immediate feedback? We eventually we'll move on and discuss what we really want to do. I'm just putting this forward as a way forward. So we'll discuss that. But any thoughts before we just move forward on those three areas? Okay.
Steve, I guess I just wonder, you know, I, speaking for myself, I would be okay with foregoing the HAB update in light of this recommendation, because it does seem a little odd to start planning for something that's not going to start for 2 months if it's not going to start for 2 months. So I'm just trying to figure out a good flow here. I ask Virginia and Jim and Diane if they agree, but you know, I don't think we made such significant progress that we wouldn't be willing to wait to make that presentation.
I think that's a good point.
So how about this as a proposal? We'll go through the water supply reliability in MER, and then we'll talk about a way forward to complete those. And then when we move into the next topic or so forth, I know there's some interest in talking about how we might be more effective in general in terms of our future reviews. We will have Lauren coming in on our April meeting and talking about her analysis of how effective our reviews have been. And maybe that's, maybe we can just hold that cold conversation off until then. And see what we can do, you know, between now and June on that regard of talking about future things. And it can be an open dialogue. It can be a more free-flowing discussions about the types of things that are what makes boards effective or not effective, a variety of those kind of topics as things we could talk about at our meeting, set aside some times and to do that during our meetings, because we won't be getting review reports back as a full board. Does that make sense? We'll talk about water supply reliability and monitoring, and then we will and then talk about a way forward on those through June. And then if we want, we can talk about the HABs and other things we might want to deal with in that between now and June. I'm looking at Lisa. Does that seem reasonable?
That sounds great to me. I saw that Virginia had unmuted herself, though, so I wonder if she wants to add something.
Oh, I just wanted to agree with you, particularly in light of the new people like me who are just learning a lot and even just this morning came across a lot of new material. I think it's better to really have a firm grasp on our path forward and how we're going to do that. So thank you, Lisa, for bringing that.
Okay, well, let's start then with the monitoring review with, I think Joe is leading this.
Well, we had a discussion yesterday or day before. We had a meeting, and the idea is that, yes, we will try to get this done by June. But only thing is that we might have to excise some of our interviews, at least reduce it drastically. We have 22 people, you know, at least we have suggested that we are going to talk to. I mean, it's impossible to do that in that sense. So what we kind of thought was that, Tanya can interject to start writing a good draft and improve upon what we have. And then while doing so, identify areas we really need to talk to some experts further, and then have meetings with them or interviews with them. So this is our current thinking. Tanya, you want to say something about it?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good summary, Joe. As we were looking at kind of the current structure of the rough draft of the report that's just based on component one findings, there's still a lot of cleaning and restructuring that needs to be done in even the rough draft that we have now. And we're not quite sure where some of those gaps of knowledge might be based on the existing data that's already there to support the current draft. And then we also have data from the survey that was done that hasn't really been incorporated into the report. So we need to spend some time kind of writing, mulling through some of the data that hasn't been incorporated. And then, as Joe said, kind of thinking strategically about how to do the interviews in a way that will complement what's there and really be targeted, because there's no way we could get 22 interviews done and get the report done and get public comment feedback and all of that done by June. So there might be ways we can streamline to make it more efficient if we really focus our time. So yeah, Diane.
I wanted to comment. I wasn't able to attend the meeting on Monday because my schedule wasn't flexible enough. And I'm going to have to leave now, actually, because of some teaching responsibilities. But I support Steve's plan that you just outlined. And I'm not so far into the monitoring enterprise review that I couldn't move to the water supply if that's works out to be the best for the group as a whole. So I'll just put that out there. I did read the original, the early drafts. Clearly, I agree that there's a lot of reorganization and streamlining that could happen now. And I support this plan, but I can be like a flex player. I used to row crew, and my coach told me I was useful to the team. I rowed equally poorly on port and starboard. So whatever works out. Okay, but I have to leave now. But thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
So she signed up for both. Is that what I hear?
Yeah. And Joe and I, how much work the monitoring review will take depends on how many team members we have, obviously. So,
well, it's a large review compared to what we have undertaken. So I don't know whether two is enough or we need more people. That will be a good thing to have, a few more people helping this review, not only three of us. And yes, please, Jay, you had a...
Did you volunteer, Jay?
Well, what's one more thing? I'm just bouncing the rubble here now anyway. I had a suggestion. I know this is a tremendously important review, the Modeling Enterprise Workshop. It's probably the second most important review topic that we've ever tried to attempt. Interviewing 22 people, under normal circumstances for us would not be asking too much for this review of this importance, but I think it is probably more than what we can muster in our current crippled condition. We might, however, be able to muster, I think, sending all of those 22 people a questionnaire and having them send us feedback in a qualitative sense or in quantitative sense, if you'd like, depending upon what kind of questionnaire you all would like to deal with when it comes back.
Yeah, there's some value in that. We could get a obviously larger number of people to respond. I mean, it loses some of that contextual information that you get when you're able to do interviews and ask people follow-up questions and probe. But I mean, we could even do a mix of something where we do a small number of interviews, like 5 interviews, and then send those same interview questions by email to people. There then is the time of analysis, but I think we will have some staff support to help us with transcribing and analyzing. So.
And another thing is to get all these people, because now what we have is actually we kept this group to a later on date, because these are kind of people we really like to hear from and who haven't responded to the mailing questionnaire. So getting them into the phone will be an issue. Edmund was saying that quite difficult to contact them or schedule them. But we will try our best to get the most out of this.
I've got a question for Tanya. Tanya, you're coming into this as a new member of the board, so you have fresh eyes on this document. And it sounds like maybe the data collection part of the effort hasn't been completed. What's your assessment of the state of the report right now and how much effort would be required between now and June to finalize it?
Well, I will say that a lot of data has already been collected. And so really it's the interviews that are left. And there have been multiple stages of data collection that inform this report. Not all of it's been analyzed and integrated into the report. So there's a solid draft that's there to work with, but it's going to take quite a bit of effort to clean up that draft and then integrate some of the data from a questionnaire that was done that we already have data from, and then data from interviews, or if we do some sort of supplemental questionnaire, as Jay suggested. I mean, I think it's going to take at least 2 months to get the writing cleaned up. And we have staff who are there to help, but they can't get started until the end of March. And so part of it depends on, when staff can help and when Joe and I are available and when we can schedule interviews as well. So, I think we had a conversation about this just the other day, and I think Joe and I agreed it's possible to finish this by the end of June. But it would be hard. And I think Edmund agreed with that as well from the staff perspective.
So Steve, what happens if, they put the effort that they've got to complete this by June and it just doesn't happen? So what are the implications of that?
They'll be fired, I think. That's the
just a suspension and then fine.
It seems to me
won't
that
get paid.
Yeah, you won't get paid. It's a severe reduction in salary. But I think, these reports are, we take great pride in them. And of course, we tend to be thorough. They can take years. I think we're operating under a different set of rules right now. In one case, the monitoring review has sort of a duration to it, whereas the longer you wait, the less valuable it becomes. The monitoring is continuing and changing and evolving, and new things are being done. There's new reports coming out on monitoring, and new publications. So it becomes out of date. So I think that when the reason for setting a deadline is to make those hard decisions of what's really needed in this or what's not. There's sort of the goal of what would be the best possible product, and how long will that take? And what will be, as one of our former board members said, is good enough, that where it can be a valuable contribution and out in a timely manner. So I am pushing towards that June deadline, because I think that there's a real chance of losing board members by June if things don't change. And I'd like to get this done with our current board members. It sets a priority. I think the question on the interviews and so forth is a good one. It needs to be asked in a way that what will the value added of that review, what's its intent? Will it change our recommendations? Will it just modify, or will it be just add some support? What's the purpose? That's the question. Yeah. The second component I would say is that my hope is that you get 5 board members to sign on to this team, and that not just the 2 of you, but to get ask board members to sign on to one or the other, and have 5-member groups so that they can also dive in and help. And if it doesn't get done by then, all of our deadlines are self-imposed. And I just think that this is something that will help us begin to set priorities. And I can't answer your question any better, but without a deadline, I guarantee you it won't be done till the end of the year, if later. And so we have to set some deadlines, and that sets priorities for people's times as well. So that if board members, if they're outside of their meeting, this meeting time is exclusively devoted towards one or the other one of those reviews. And as a way to finish our top priorities, these two reviews, and then move on in July 1st, we'll have a clean slate and have a lot more opportunities to do what we want, what we need to do. I saw Bob's hand up.
Well, Steve, it seems that no matter which way you slice this, it still involves a very large number of hours by either a few people or 5 people. And even if they put those hours in, it's going to be very difficult to have a report that the group would be proud of by June. You know, so that said, there are former members of the ISB which have worked on this. And my question to you or others is there a mechanism in place by which these former members could be enticed to come back and help with this effort? And by enticed, I mean not only intellectually, but also compensated fairly for coming in and helping finish off something that they started. Because they're certainly a lot more familiar with the nuances in this report and could be very valuable if there is a way to bring them back.
It's a great idea, Bob. I asked that question. I was told, no, there's no way to pay them. And can anyone confirm that, Susan or Edmund?
Apply for the postdoc positions.
Well, we don't have a mechanism to pay the former ISB members.
I think
there would be other forms. I don't know what other forms of enticement we could employ. But well, currently, we don't have a mechanism for paying them for their time.
Well, can the Delta or the Council issue short-term contracts for various deliverables? They must be able to do that if you're buying something like a piece of equipment. In this case, you're buying a report. Can that be done?
Well, that's a good question, Bob. I'm certainly not the person who's keeping up on all the current contracting and labor laws. I can certainly ask.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be the ideal way. I have heard from others that's not possible. But one of the things, Bob, that I would suggest this group do is to get a group of 5 together. They know what the amount of time that they can put into this. And they meet as a group and they say, okay, if we need to meet that June deadline, what could we produce, you know, at that deadline? Does that mean gutting it to the point where it's useless? Does that mean just a cursory overview? Is it coming up with a bad product? Or does it mean something simple? We can do this. We can get rid of the interviews. We can do it in 2 parts, you know, first part in June and second part December. I mean, let them get together knowing what their hours are and say, and let them put together a plan and let them carry it out and not come back to the board for approval. Let's just say, here's what we want to do. Here's what our target deadline is. And let's see what we can get accomplished by then and whether or not that's something they want to bring back to the full board for approval. Joe, you're leading this, but I'll go. Jay, I saw Jay's hand.
I was going to ask you, how do you arrange the group? Now, we have 3, actually, Diane, myself, Diane, Tanya, and myself. We have 3 in the group. And how do we get additional members? What should be the mechanism? Should we just ask people to volunteer or to come to this group? Because I'm in another group, which is the water supply reliability. I'm in that one too. So I will kind of somehow the try to be in that one. And since we have been doing this for a while, but if I had to play a major role here, I'm certainly happy to do it. But putting together that group who will be helping will be quite important, because we cannot say, hey, you have to join us. So if you guys can somehow like contact members and ask.
Yeah, I would. I don't know that we need to have names today. It'd be nice if we did, but you know, I'm hopeful now that we've taken a lot of things off the table for people. And again, one meeting and per month now, and to take off two reviews, take off three reviews, and you're down to one review. And this is for the next 3 months. Where would you like to put your effort on which of those reviews? Remembering that they're not about fish. So, you know, I'm not going to be very interested, but you know, that's a joke, but you know, you need to, you know, we need to go beyond. Joe, we had you down for two. So I imagine there may be others that will be up for two, but and there may be a board member or two that doesn't want to join any. And but I think we're going to try and get as many as we can. We cannot go over five. Five, particularly for monitoring, would be good. If I were to sign up for one, it would be monitoring, because I was part of the original team on that. And the same with the water supply reliability. I think we get as many as we can to join in, and that's what we, with a target of five and a target of June, and see where we end up. And some board members may say no to anything. So, Jim.
Can you remind us who the retired members of the board are who participated in this? And when did it begin? When did this process begin? I think Bob's point is really important. I mean, there is an investment of time and knowledge and synthesis by people that, as far as I can see, is going to be lost unless we draw them back into this process. So I know Vince Resch was one, right? And John Weens was.
Yes.
And Tracy.
Yeah, I mean the collective knowledge of those three of this document, that has to be drawn into this somehow.
You know, Edmund, were you copied on the email exchange that I had on this?
Not particularly, but I have corresponded a bit with Vince and John a few months ago. About their potential interest in helping. So we're just kind of waiting for guidance from Tanya and Joe. That was something that they're interested in. Obviously, there are limits to what kind of support they can provide based on my last correspondence with them.
Let me ask Laurel, were you copied on that email's discussion?
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry, I had to step away from the computer for a brief 30 seconds and I missed that.
I specifically asked people in the counselor program, can we subcontract out to former board members to help us out finishing up these two reviews? And I recall getting a definitive no, we cannot do that. And I guess what we're asking for is a clear and public answer to that question.
Steve, I would have to go back and research in my email because it's not on my mind right now.
Yeah, if that was the case, I think.
As Susan indicated, we do not have a mechanism for contracting with the former board members to pay them for working on the review.
Often that indicates you don't have very creative staff on the financial side. In a large bureaucracy, there's always a way to do something. It's just a matter of how difficult it is.
Yeah. My son is a young business guy, and he tells me, Dad, everything is negotiable.
You and with the state of California?
Perhaps not in the state of California, but if it's true for the University of California, it probably can be true for almost any large bureaucracy. But I do like Bob's idea of not contracting for time, but contracting for a product.
Yes. And we have done that in the past, is that they're paid when the product is delivered. It's just like a piece of equipment. We're looking for a report, and we don't care how much time. They can tell us how much time they put in. We don't care about the time. We care about the product. That's what we're buying. Mm-hmm.
Edmund, is the ESSA contract totally done? Like we couldn't put an addendum or anything?
Yes, we can't because they wanted through it. Sorry we had to go through these contracting rules at this meeting, but pretty much because of the rules that they want the contract, we can't, they can't redo it. We can't add any additional work that stems from that product. And I think this discussion, I don't think we need to continue the discussion of whether it's possible or not to bring ISB members in. Because I think based on the feedback we've gotten so far, the answer was no. So I think that's not a possibility that we shouldn't further discuss at this point. As I mentioned a few months ago, when I talked to John Weems and Vince Rush, they were both interested in providing support and help if there's interest on the board. But obviously that's something that we have to discuss further with them on exactly what that would entail. But we wanted the opportunity for the new members working on this review to get acquainted with what's being done and what feedback would be useful to get from them.
I know we are allowed to appoint, to ask for help for outside board members in our reviews. It's part of our guidance, I believe. So I think one of the things we should, I'll do two things. One is to find that email where I was told no and confirm it's no. And the second, I think, is we should go back to the former members of the monitoring review, which is Tracy, Vince, and John, and the other two on that group were Joe and I, and ask them specifically if they want to join and help us finish this off in any way or form, and what they would be willing to do without compensation if there isn't any.
There's another approach to this, which we might unfortunately have to take. When you're confronted with an impossible problem like this, sometimes your only alternative in a review is to raise your elevation and not get so worried about the details because you don't have time for it. In this particular case, I think it is possible for members of this group, if not the entire group, to take a look at the overall management of the modeling enterprise for the Delta and be able to say some very, I think, perhaps useful structural things about the organization and institutions that manage it. The fact that we need to gather all this information from the beginning is, I think, an illustration that this large monitoring enterprise, which is by some accounts about half of the budget of all the science activities in the Delta, really has not been systematically managed and in a larger term, in a larger sense. And so I think we probably could come up with a very short report that focuses on here's our recommendations for that there be some longer term systematic management across the agencies of this very important and expensive activity.
Well, you know, Jay, that raises a couple ideas, and I'm throwing this out for the group that's going to do this, is they should be creative and when they think about what they could get done by June. And there's a couple of ways that, you know, it's not just a matter of completing everything we set out to do. That's one way. Another is doing what Jay says, is let's pull the most important recommendations that we have, either from the ESSA or our own reviews, and do a mini report on that. And that will be a review that makes the fundamental comprehensive recommendations, and the full-blown report can come later. That's what we're doing with DPIC. We've narrowed down our recommendations to one page, but we still eventually plan to finish the full report, which will be 20, 30, 50, 60 pages somewhere down the road. Another thought is to take it and subdivide it. Say, here's part A and part one, and here's part two, and maybe part A is chosen by what's most relevant and actionable in the short term. So, I mean, we have gotten to the stage where there is some draft material there. We do have the ESSA reports. We do have a set of recommendations that was already drafted. And so taking that icing and maybe saying, well, this is what we can get done by June, and let's plan to get something done and report it out, and the rest can come at a later date. And that's something that if we get a change in compensation, that okay, let's finish the rest of that report. If we don't, then maybe that goes on ice for a while.
Tanya, what do you think about that plan?
Yeah, I think we can get something done by June, Steve, in that kind of spirit of, if we need to zoom in on, you know, let's prioritize cleaning up the current set of recommendations and adding in, you know, some of the data we already have, and think about the interviews as maybe something that we do over the summer, or I don't know, maybe we can start them, but not require them to be done by the end of June. I think we could come up with something reasonable. I mean, there's enough content there that, yeah, absolutely, we could distill it to something useful.
And if the postdocs come in by that time frame, let's say you did it into it, what's now and what's later, and if the postdocs show up and we're still in the same situations, that's a charge they can be given, is to really dive into interviews or analyses of the inventory or a variety of things like that. That would be very useful to do. Well, the next topic after this one, we're actually going to try and make a decision on how to go forward. But so this is just the discussion of it. Are we ready to talk about water supply reliability? Okay, I think Jay, you have that.
So Tom and Joe have participated in this so far. The report hasn't been revised since the last version that you saw. I've been accumulating some additional notes for making additional revisions, including from some conversations with some stakeholders and some conversations with and feedback from some technical experts in this field, from the general field, even outside of California. I'm still waiting back from a couple of those for feedback. If any of you are interested in contributing to this report, we're more than happy to have additional eyes on the product, especially fresh eyes. Otherwise,
I think I've done some work along these lines. I'd be willing to help.
Great. So if you have comments on this current draft, particularly big glaring errors or, you know, big areas that are missing, or just anything, I'd be happy to hear it. I'm a little reluctant to, you know, have this become a public draft before I get word from at least one or two of the people outside of the author group saying that this passes the first sniff test, and it's about ready for public conversation. This is a big review in the sense that this is one of the co-equal goals, and it's the first review we've done in that area. So I'm a little bit concerned that we might be attracting a lot of attention to this more than it would be if we had broken this up into several reviews on different aspects of water supply reliability. So I think we have to be prepared for that, and we might want to hold a small little workshop at some point for some of us to participate in after the public draft is released, depending on the nature of how you start to
do. Are you saying it might be possible to narrow the scope?
I mean, if you think the scope is too broad, maybe. I think the scope is already narrowed a bit to try to focus it on water supply reliability estimation, not the implications of water supply reliability for all the different aspects of water supply management. So for myself, I think maybe Joe or Tom have other thoughts on this. I think we can carry this. I think this review is well underway, and we have a at least halfway decent draft. But like I said, I want to have some new eyes looking at this. But I need to have this done by June. So just other projects are piling up on me out from outside the science, Delta Science Board.
Yeah, I think where we could use some real help is fresh eyes on it to give us a perspective. It's a pretty daunting report in terms of its scope of the review of water supply reliability. And it's almost like a journal article where an expert in the field is put together their thoughts. And then there's sort of a state component of it. Like the recommendations are focused, you know, really on California and the Delta. And then there's a questionnaire of state people that's summarized. And so just how to organize this material with some fresh eyes, I think, would be extremely helpful to us. Did you agree, Jay?
It's always useful to have fresh eyes on a serious product.
I'm pretty sure Diane wants to take a look too. So,
yeah, no, so especially the readability of it, you know, the flow and the readability of it, it's quite important.
I do want to have a little bit more technical depth to this than we often have, because so many people are doing this in so many different ways and talking about it in so many different ways, and it is one of the two, you know, big co-equal goals. So I think we need to provide some sort of defining the field a little bit more than we would normally. Jim, you had a comment
question? Yeah, I'm not qualified to review this from a technical perspective, but in terms of structure and readability, I'd be happy to evaluate it at that level. I think Diane probably does have the background to provide technical comments. So if you would want somebody to review it at that level, I'd be happy to join the team and do that.
Frankly, as is true for probably almost all of our reviews, the most important people that read our reports are not technical experts.
Okay, so I'll join that team.
Thank you very much. So maybe on the water supply reliability, if I can, I'm not sure how much time it will take you all to read over and make comments on this, but if in a couple of weeks you can do that, that would be really helpful. And then I'll move on with the next draft and we can see where we take it from there. Or you can say, I don't want to read. I looked over the first bit. I'm happy to see a public draft come out and then I'll review it in more detail on the next draft, but so that you don't feel like you have to review every redraft.
So Edmund, can you resend us the latest version? I want to make sure that we have the right versions to read.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. So Steve, we do have public comments on this topic. Would you want to take those now?
Yeah, any more board discussion before we hear the public comments? Okay, go ahead, Edmund. Who do we have?
All right. So we have two potential comments from this one. Tom Zuckerman mentioned he has public comments, but he was hoping Jay might be able to relay some of his comments because I know he was having some internet connectivity issues. And then our next one is Deidre Desjardins. So Deidre, I'm going to unmute you. So when you get the chance, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself before you provide your public comment.
Hello, my name is Deirdre Desjardins with California Water Research. And I wanted to say that how the board's budget, I've started doing some investigation. The board had a budget of $685,000 a year for compensation of board members. It was done under contract. And for the 2020 to 2021 fiscal year, the state was in severe financial trouble, and the board was directed to cut $877,000 in employee compensation costs. I don't know how much of the ISB cuts were part of that. And I don't know how much budget the board has left for contracting and so on. But I will say this, the board is actually was created in statute as an independent board of a state of California, similar to many other state boards. And it's only kind of by historical thing that you're funded and compensated through the Delta Stewardship Council. And I'm going to be doing a report on the Delta Stewardship Council's effectiveness in administering the ISB, because it's starting to become clear that it's severely compromising the reviews and the work product. And it is an extremely important part, and one that's not only mandated in statute, but also is part of the CalFed Record of Decision. The other thing, just my favorite thing about water supply reliability as this subject matter is, and I'm hoping, to wind up on the compensation, I'm hoping that the issue of what the board's budget actually is, and if there were cuts, if they can be restored, that can be addressed. The funding for the Delta Stewardship Council, they haven't had hearings yet, and I'm hoping it can be addressed for the 21 to 22 fiscal year. I think it's something that should be looked at closely, and looking at the budget situation, I don't think it's just an issue of compensation structure. And the second thing is with respect to water supply reliability. I really hope we've got a severe drought. They've changed the reservoir management to for the Central Valley project to not preserve cold water pool. And there's a real issue of reliability of water for in-basin uses, and particularly for meeting the Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan requirements for outflow keeping enough water in the reservoirs. So I do hope the water supply reliability gets to look at reliability for meeting the Water Quality Control Plan requirements. It's a different optimization than for water delivery to Southern California, which involves taking all the water out of the northern reservoirs and putting it in Diamond Valley. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. Any questions from the board?
Thank you, Deirdre. One of the topics that we're looking at, because we spend a lot of time talking about it in California, is water supply reliability for the environment, as well as the other traditional uses.
Okay, comments from Tom. How are they going to be done?
I don't see his hand raised. I'm not sure, Jay, if you just want to relay some of his past comments.
Well, I see Tom on the attendee list, but I can relate a little, summarize a little bit, if he can't get through. A couple of the things, Tom, that we talked about. Oh, is he trying to get through?
Tom, are you able? Do you have the connection to provide your comments, Tom? Tom Zuckerman.
I don't know that you can hear me.
I can hear you. Speak, please.
Well, I have a very poor internet connection out where I live, but The point that I was making in my earlier discussion with Jay is that quite some time ago, when we were trying to, in the Central Delta, trying to negotiate a contract with the projects for a water supply in the Delta, they told us that they did not have enough water to meet the State Water Resources Control Board Bay Delta standards during drier years. And consequently, they could not promise to meet the standards that were then enforced by the state board, and which, of course, have been somewhat strengthened since that time. So we feel that there's a very serious issue as to whether the projects have a sufficient water supply to meet their obligations in the Delta without trying to develop greater sources of supply, in our view, hopefully by capturing water in the wet years and getting it into groundwater storage or other possible ways without compromising their commitments to the Delta. I hope you could hear that. And if you couldn't, maybe Jay could just sort of summarize it. But I think it's very important that you look at that issue, because nobody else in the state seems to look at it very seriously, and have a conclusion on it before we get too far down some sort of a commitment to physical projects that are intended to increase the amount of water that's being exported.
We were able to hear you very clearly, Tom. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Any questions from the board? Okay, so I think we're merging into item number 5, which is now to really talk about our implementation and work plan for the rest of this year, going back to what I, the rest of this fiscal year, going back to what I originally talked about and suggestions. I guess one was to go back to one meeting per month, and is there anybody objecting doing that? Anybody objects to doing that? Okay, so I presume that will be okay, and we'll just go to one meeting per month. Now, I want to talk about this in two components. One is to see if we can wrap up what we're talking about in terms of the two reviews, and then also to think about what we still have HABs on the table to discuss where we want to go with that. We also have some suggestions about looking at how we might have a more open discussion about where we might focus our reviews, you know, how we might do our reviews, how can we be more effective, how can we make sure that there are actions on our reviews. And part of that will be triggered by our next meeting, which will have Lauren Hastings' report, where she did the analysis of our past reviews and what kind of an impact they actually have. And she's got statistics and surveys and stuff, and she can present that and provide guidance as to our reviews in general. That might help trigger us to think about how we might move forward in terms of our process, probably move forward in post-July first. So the in terms of the two reviews, what I have is seems like I have about 6 people who volunteered to be on the water supply reliability, or at least review, do an editorial on it, and still only two or three on monitoring. Once we get to 6, it triggers a whole bunch of public meeting things, so the group of 6 cannot meet, but they can certainly divide into subgroups and do different things. Or we can deal with water supply reliability as a full board thing that that 5 or 6 people really work on. Jay?
Steve, I to the degree people want to work on it, I think that's fine, but most of what I heard was a willingness to read it, which I think it is ultimately probably the most important thing, to read and give some comments. And for that, we don't we have ways that we can send them the report by email, and they can send comments back to Edmund in ways that we don't have to worry about the Brown Act so much.
Okay, I do think Diane wanted to, she's expressed earlier too that she wanted to have some, you know, content input as well. So
wonderful.
Yeah,
we can easily accommodate that.
So I guess what we'll do for water, for the monitoring thing, is again we will double check on the contracting. We will have a try and have a conversation with past members of the board who are deeply involved in that and see if they would like to contribute some of their time to it. And then we will also send out another request to board members to see if they want to devote some of their or all of their significant time to that over the next 3 months and see where we end up after that. And then have that group begin to lay out a plan forward and see where we go from there. That seem a reasonable way to go for the two, Virginia?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be glad to help with the monitoring, but it kind of depends on what we do with the HABs, because the HABs could take a ton of time. So if there's less time on HABs, I'd be glad to help with the monitoring, or vice versa.
Okay, we usually interpret that as a very strong volunteer.
No. Very strong.
Be careful, okay. You can twitch and you get signed up for something.
Given Steve's plan for us to focus on wrapping up these two reviews by June, I think we should table the HABs thing and after June have a discussion about where to go with that.
Okay, I see. I don't see anybody shaking their head. I see everyone nodding. Does that seem any objections to doing that for now? Okay, hearing none, then I think we can, what we'll do for April then, I know I'm jumping ahead in agenda, Edmund is probably grinding his teeth now, but is to think about hearing Lauren's report, which will give us some guidance as to in terms of reviews, and we can start having maybe some general discussion time to think about how we as a board in general might be more effective and achieve some of the things that I think all of us thought about when we first signed on for the board and how we might move forward with that. We'll start that discussion in earnest in April as well as part of the meeting. So Jim has left for a moment. And given that regard that we're going to table HABs, did you want to just give us a brief report or you want to just table it?
I think we should just table it. Virginia and I had a plan for an initial meeting, but, you know, really, we could. I'm fine to just let that go. Yeah, Virginia gives a thumbs up.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody. I think we've covered those two topics. Any more public comments on, any more board comments on those items 4 and 5 first?
Well, you know, I think it's important for us to sort of step back and sort of lay it out straight that given this impossible contracting situation, impossible compensation system that we have now for the board is essentially crippled compared to our normal expectations, compared to what I expect, not being a lawyer, what I expect was the legislative intent for this board. This is, to me, clearly not a sustainable situation. This is not going to be good for the operation of the council, of DWR, of the state board, of all the state agencies and the many stakeholders that depend on the science board to sort of lay it out straight about the science for the Delta and to help encourage, from a technical scientific perspective, the science and the Delta to become a little bit more cohesive and a little bit more useful for policymaking. So I'm very worried about the future of the board. It was already going to be difficult bringing on a whole new group of excellent people, just, you know, getting the working relationships to work, but to do this on a essentially a volunteer basis now, I think has really made it hard for us, as we've all seen, to continue to complete the things that are partly done and to move forward in the kind of, you know, expeditious way that the problem really requires. So I venture that pessimistic opinion of the state of the board.
Thanks, Jay. Any other comments before we ask for public comment again on this topic? Topics?
Yeah, for the public record, I'll second Jay's comments.
I will third them in a way that I've looked at the number of hours and that people are putting in and present, past, and future, or present and past, and I wholeheartedly appreciate the amount of what I'm calling virtual volunteer time that all of you have been able to put in. And I know this is not the system that you signed up for, and I think that I know you're all dedicated professionals and have been putting in a lot of time on this, and I really appreciate that. I think it's going to be extremely important for us to talk about this over the next 3 months and figure out what we do in starting July 1st to be effective under various scenarios and how to move forward or under whatever conditions are prevailing at the time. Any public comment on this, Edmund?
We have another one from Deirdre. So Deirdre, I'm going to unmute you. So when you're unmuted, you can unmute yourself and talk.
Thank you. I also wanted to say I did look at the contracts that the Stewardship Council has, and they are paying the Mercury Control Independent Science Review Panel. It's 2 years, and they're paying them entirely through contracts. There's also a large a $2 million contract through UC San Diego for the Science Fellow Program, and they're all being paid through contracts. So, and I think the Delta lead scientist may be paid through a contract with USGS. So I don't understand. It's not clear why there's so many contracting limitations on the ISB. And it seemed to me that if there were AB5 issues, they don't apply to business contracting. And so contract, like adding your contracts to UC San Diego would seem to be an issue. But I've been looking at it with my staff attorney. Thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre, again. Okay, let's move on to item 6, which is the Delta Lead Science Report.
Thank you, Steve. My plan is actually to cede my time to the Science Action Agenda group because it's a priority for them to get comments back. But I was going to give a summary of the Steelhead workshop. I do have that summary written up, and I could forward it to all board members through Edmund for the meeting notes. And I also want to thank Deirdre for her comments, but just to set the record straight that I am employed through an intergovernmental personnel agreement with USGS, not a contract.
Okay, thanks. Any public comments on that? Okay. It seems like we do have time to do the Science Action Agenda. And what I'm going to ask the presenters to do is, I know that they want some specific advice. I've asked them this before, is to try and be fairly specific about what you would like to hear from us and what you would like us to comment on. I know board members have to leave at 12:30. So you have 20 minutes total, which is what I think we originally had planned. So
Thank you all so much. I'm going to share my screen. Edmund, let me know if there are any issues with that. Does that look okay, Edmund?
Yes. Looks good, Rachel.
Great. Thank you all so much. My name is Rachel Klopfenstein. I'm a senior environmental scientist in the Collaborative Science and Peer Review Unit with the Science Program. And I really just want to underscore that I really appreciate the opportunity to talk today. I've been listening on the whole meeting and aware of the value of your time. So I really do appreciate this. I'll run through a presentation that's about 10 minutes. I'm going to be discussing a document called the Science Action Agenda, which is a priority document produced by the science program. And then Henry and I, we hope to solicit some feedback, as was mentioned. So the purpose, though, of today's presentation is to orient you all to the Science Action Agenda and seek some preliminary feedback before we formally request your review on the completed draft later this year, which is something that often with science program products, we seek feedback from the board, but we wanted to give you an orientation to the effort now and also seek some preliminary feedback when we're in this point of being able to hopefully incorporate that. So we think it's important for you to know the background on the Science Action Agenda and the current iteration and our approach to updating the document. And as I said, we're at a critical point with some key next steps and decisions to make soon, especially regarding our assessment of progress made on the current Science Action Agenda. And then we're going to conclude with posing some questions to you all, but I think that'll also be an opportunity for you to ask us questions. So the Science Action Agenda is a key pillar to the tripartite Delta Science Strategy, which you might be familiar with. It's organized by the Delta Science Program. But at its core, the Science Action Agenda, the document there in blue, is a collaboratively developed science agenda for the Delta that prioritizes and aligns science actions to meet management needs. We often refer to the Science Action Agenda as providing the gaps in the glue for the science enterprise. So in other words, what are current gaps in knowledge and what science actions need to occur to address those gaps? There are a number of uses for the Science Action Agenda. The prioritized list of science actions helps us and our partners to guide science funding decisions, shape science planning, promote collaboration and transparency across the system, and more. Case in point, we, as well as the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, use the SAA as a framework for competitive science solicitations, the latest of which is shown here on the right. And for the sake of clarity, it's worth pointing out that while we have a current SAA, that blue document, covering the period of 2017 to 2021, what we'll be talking about today concerns the process of updating the document for the period of 2022 to 2026. And in order to ensure that the update process is collaborative, transparent, and robust, we have already begun. And then lastly, I want to acknowledge that the other parallel initiative is the Science Needs Assessment, which you're all familiar with. And that shares similarities with the Science Action Agenda, though takes a longer time horizon and focuses on science and governance needs for promoting and utilizing forecasting. So, but these efforts are being coordinated. So the 2022 to 2026 SAA or Science Action Agenda update is structured around three components, as shown in this tiered diagram on the right. So going from broader components at the top to more specific components at the bottom, we have management needs, management questions, which are new for this iteration, and science actions. And examples of each, rough examples of each, are listed in that diagram. So the management needs are the broadest component and capture gaps or uncertainties in regulatory objectives, past or upcoming management actions, or information needed to compare scenarios. Then slightly more specific, the management needs are management questions, which is the component that we just wrapped up extensive outreach on. And they target uncertainty around a specific management action or topic, but also tend to have enterprise-wide application and when addressed, inform and respond to management needs. The update process has started with a broad list of management questions, which I think many of you have seen, to better ensure that science actions inform and are relevant to pressing policy and management uncertainties. And this approach of adding in the management questions is taken in response to priority recommendations from the 2019 Delta Science Funding and Governance Initiative, which was facilitated and endorsed by DPIC. Beginning of March of last year, we, meaning the Collaborative Science and Peer Review Unit, and additional Delta Science Program staff, engaged with nearly 30 collaborative groups and reviewed relevant documents and reports, released a survey and presented to both DPIC and the council. With extensive engagement from the Delta Science community via surveys and a workshop, we distilled down a list of an original list of 1,279 management questions to 65 top questions, which were released in January of this year. And we're now in the process of, again, organizing these management questions into broader management needs and considering which ones most closely align with the science action agenda objectives. Now, the last piece of the science, are science actions, and that's that bottom tier. So by our definition, science actions can involve research, monitoring, modeling, and much more, and generate information or tools that help to address physical, natural, and socioeconomic challenges and management uncertainties. The identification of science actions will be informed by two pieces. First, the management context created by the management questions and needs, the top tier. But then we're also, second, they'll also be informed by our assessment of progress made on the current science action agenda. We'll come back to that. So the approach of producing the next science action agenda is a time-intensive process with many moving parts and necessary collaboration. And this is only the second time that we're developing the full SAA. So this process isn't set in stone and we're managing adaptively as we go. Obviously, very welcome to input. The color-coded timeline here is showing our process in relation to those three components of the SAA, the management questions in green, the management needs in orange, and the science actions in blue, and then where they fit into our little pyramid. First in green, and like I said, we already collected the management questions from managers, stakeholders, scientists, and other interested groups in and around the Delta. And then second in orange, we're grouping those similar management questions into broader management needs. Simultaneously, we are assessing progress made on the current science action agenda, which combined with the management questions and needs will inform our third piece, the science actions. So we're currently scoping the science actions workshop, which will be June 8th and 9th of this year. Again, once those management needs and questions are finalized, we can begin seeking responsive science actions to prioritize and discuss at the workshop. A save the date will be coming soon, hopefully this week. So we invite interested Delta ISB members to attend, also acknowledging the time constraints. That's that first star that's on here. And then I also want to acknowledge that we are seeking greater participation from social scientists to help develop the science actions for this iteration. Once we have all three of our components, the needs, the questions, science actions, we'll complete a draft science action agenda and seek input at various levels, including formally from the Delta ISB later this year. Now, I wanna quickly highlight the 65 top Delta management questions, which I think has been provided to you already. And this is just a subset of the list. And it's worth noting that while the list of management questions will be incorporated directly into the science action agenda, we also see this co-produced list as a standalone valuable resource. The list of the top 65 questions are sorted first by the number of relevant management themes. You can't see all of them. There are 8 themes. To highlight, though, the cross-cutting nature of the questions. And then also by the weighted average from a survey that we sent to workshop participants. And here in green are the top 5 questions, which hit on all 8 management themes. So the highest rated, most cross-cutting questions. Some potential uses of this list, many of which were identified by DPIC members last year, include forming the basis of management relevant science, fostering collaborations, and prioritizing investments. As a timely distillation of pressing Delta-wide management uncertainties, the list can be used to communicate the value of science to managers and many more, and highlight the value of collaboration. We're also thinking about ways to leverage the management questions with longer time horizons beyond the lifespan of the SAA, or incorporate outputs of the science needs assessment. And as I mentioned, the management questions are new this year or for this iteration. Now, the last part of the process I want to highlight is our assessment of progress made on the current science action agenda. And I want to orient you to that document. There are 25 science actions, 13 priority, 12 secondary that are sorted into 5 broader management or action areas. And it's hard to see the action areas in black there. So I've entered those into here in larger text, but they cover topics like developing tools to evaluate habitat restoration, and modernizing modeling and monitoring. And I'm going to switch to the next slide, but I want to say that the 2017 to 2021 SAA was used to frame two competitive interagency Delta Science solicitations, one initiated in 2018 and one that was initiated at the end of last year. And the same or similar is expected for the next SAA. So just before wrapping up, I want to focus in on our assessment of progress made on the current SAA. Our main objective is determining the progress made on the 25 science actions that I just mentioned in the 2017 to 2021 SAA in order to determine if the science actions previously deemed high priority should be kept, modified, or removed for the next iteration. We see this as a critical piece in the evaluation and response phase of the adaptive management cycle. And it will help us to communicate the value of the SAA, hopefully improve and strengthen the next iteration, and then also to help us identify our return on investments through our proposal solicitations. We currently have an internally drafted assessment of the 25 science actions in those five action areas, currently being reviewed and updated by the Delta Science Program staff and identified members of the Delta Science community. A summarized assessment will be circulated for public review in late March. So I just covered a ton on this large document that again takes multiple years to generate. But I've listed some discussion questions here that we hope to get your input on. First, more broadly, we're wondering, based on all of your experiences elsewhere, what do you think about our approach to the 2022 to 2026 SAA? What's effective and what have we overlooked? And regarding the list of top Delta management questions, we're curious to hear other uses that you have suggested for that. More specifically, in regarding this last piece I touched on, the assessment of the current science action agenda, we're wondering, do you have any suggestions about deciding if there's been enough progress made towards a science action in the current document to not include it in the next one? You know, how do we gauge that contribution to a science action? We're also happy to answer any questions from you all. And again, truly, truly appreciate your time today. So thank you.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. I actually have a lot of questions, but let me just start out with one, is that one of the criteria you used to rank the management questions was how many groups of topics did it cover? Did it cover invasive species as well as habitat management, as well as water supply reliability? And those that covered all were ranked high. Therefore, if you look at, for example, just the top five or 10 management questions, they all seem to talk about it's important to integration, you know, integration across multidisciplinary, they're all broad by the very nature. I mean, that those two things are highly tied together in terms of the nature of it. So I guess one is that do you see any concerns about doing it that way and you're not getting what's the most important invasive species question? You're getting what is the question that covers the most entities, and therefore the answer is integration. And how do you sort that out?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for the question. I'm also going to say that Henry DeBay, the environmental program manager for this unit and who's also leading this science action agenda effort, is on the line, so he might want to answer. But first I'll say that, you know, one goal of the science action agenda is to highlight the science efforts that need to occur that are not, don't fit neatly with another, with an agency's mandate, for example. So by nature, these are questions that are actions that are harder to initiate because they do span multiple interests. And again, that's getting at that gaps piece. So that's why I think that we decided to prioritize the list in that way of highlighting the ones that are most cross-cutting, because those are the ones that are going to take or need that additional support to be addressing. That said, though, throughout the entire set of questions, the 65 that are there, you know, as you get down the list, you only see that some hit on one, maybe two of the different management themes. So they're on the list, and we didn't, you know, exclude those that only hit on a few because they were still considered priority. But that's the main reason that we kept those highly, highly collaborative, highly cross-cutting questions up at the top. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And it also raises the question how you then take that very, very broad management question, which talks about the need for integration, and then take it to that next level of coming up with very specific science actions. Because for any one of those questions, one could list 20 science questions easily. Because yep, they're that's, broad.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. That's still, I kind of glossed through it pretty quickly, but the science actions that are in the current SAA are still pretty broad. And they can be tackled by a variety of different research or science efforts. So by nature, they're still fairly broad, but that's going to be the goal of the workshop. And it's going to be dependent on who participates in that workshop to some extent, of who's going to be coming up with and contributing to the initial list of science actions that are most responsive to those management needs, informed by those questions. And then prioritized and elevated in the document itself. For the last iteration, it was the Delta Agency Science Work Group, which is a work group of DPIC agencies, their science managers and staff, that helped to do that similar process for the last SAA. So we'll be copying that process, but also trying to make it a little bit more inclusive. But it's still spot on. There's still a lot. It's not getting at the complete detail of what research should be done, and that's partly by design, but they'll still be fairly high level. And if there are specific thoughts that you have on that, though, for how we incorporate that into our workshop planning, I'm all ears and would really, really appreciate that.
Can I just build on a comment that Rachel made that you said it's things are going to depend on who attends the workshop. And I feel a little bit the same that your set of questions or suggestions also depend on who answered. First of all, I just want to give you credit for spending the time to do this. You know, I think it's fantastic that you're really trying hard to make this an integrative effort. But for example, I might have expected something about decision-making under uncertainty given climate change or something. I didn't see anything like that. So I guess I would encourage you to think about whether you have all the right disciplines for the workshop and in these processes in the future.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. And it's certainly something we're thinking about for the Science Actions Workshop, because that was a challenge with the last, the crafting of the science actions with the last one. But the questions here, they can be answered by so many different disciplines. So I completely hear that point that we're going to be beginning our extensive outreach to ensure that we have enough representation there. So thank you.
Tanya, do you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick question. This is really great, Rachel. Thank you for sharing this with us. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the results are. I guess just on the kind of basic approach of asking about the management needs and kind of prioritizing those for the science needs, I wonder if there's a way to ensure that for those, to ensure that you're not being blinded by the kind of current management needs and what's not known about what our management needs are in 5 years or 10 years. We often, you know, we're working in this world of uncertainty. So is there a way to kind of build that into this questioning process to assess, you know, what managers don't know what their needs are or what they think might be future needs that maybe they're a little uncertain on today, or there's some ambiguity around that?
Well, I guess I mean, that's a great point. The issue that we've been kind of tackling lately is the management questions that we did receive. A lot of them do have a longer view on them. And the science action agenda is about what science actions need to occur in this five-year window. What do we need to be starting now? But we don't necessarily have a formal process right now of how, maybe for the next science action agenda iteration, we incorporate that longer term. Is that what your question is kind of getting at?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's, you know, always some uncertainty about what management needs are going to be there in the future. We don't know what we don't know. And, you know, yes, this is kind of a short-term focus, but if we're going to invest in something for the long term, then we have to get started today. So there's a little bit of a chicken and egg there. It just something to think about. I mean, I think what you're doing is great. And I think you'll get some good results out of it. I would reinforce the points that Lisa made, though, too, on just making sure that you have, you know, the right kind of mix of respondents or people that can speak to this.
Yeah, and I would take that one step further, too, is when I can't imagine in 2 days how many of these management questions you're going to ask, but if you get a group of scientists together, particularly people who have some invested interest in the results, that, you know, you might want to have a duplicate group. In other words, have two separate groups dealing with the same question and see if they come up with the same answers, and just as a test on the system. I don't know if I can make any suggestions on progress, because I don't know how you measure progress and how you're measuring progress from Science Action Agenda. Is it the fact that you put a lot of money into it, or are you actually counting science progress with publications and presentations and or actual management progress? How do you measure progress?
I mean, happy to quickly mention that. Let me see, actually. This slide, and I won't go into it, and I know that there's another hand up from Jay, but what we're starting at right now with the assessment is the activity level is what we're calling that. So we're trying to consider everything that's occurring that could be contributing to addressing a science action. And so that can be a study, a research funded under the PSN. It could be a program, it could be a project, a whole slew of things. It could also be publications or like public workshops and symposia that produce some knowledge that's relating to a science action. We're also asking for folks to answer the question, what part of the science action is this activity addressing? So we're trying to tease that out. We're saying who's funded it, how it's funded, and what is the status of the activity. So is it completed? Was it just started? And this is just an example. We were thinking like, okay, the Social Science Task Force report, this is where we plug it in to the assessment. So the tricky part though, I mean, it's all a little bit tricky, is rolling this up and trying to say, okay, considering all of these activities contributing to an action, what still is the status of the action? Minimal, moderate, has it reached management level? And that's that summarized version is what we're going to be sending out for public review, in addition to all of the projects that we've considered in the assessment. When I say we, I really want to just acknowledge the entire science program staff for this entire science action agenda process. There's been massive help. Then we also are doing target outreach now on this specific assessment.
And to do it scientifically, of course, you'd want to have a similar set of issues that weren't on your list to compare them to the progress made on those issues. But that's too complex.
We're also trying to see barriers. So what projects were scoped but never happened, for example. So what were some limitations to consider for our next set? Sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Thank you. This is all just a tremendously impressive effort. You know, your persistence and over a long period of time to get many people to provide input into this process, I think is really, really amazing. And a lot of good things will come out of it. I think though, I'd like to sort of suggest you think about the whole process of science action agendas in a little different way. Maybe think of it sort of like when you go in for an annual checkup with your doctor, right? Just to put in a really everyday kind of a case. When I go in to talk to my doctor once a year, hopefully it's only once a year, I have a series of, especially as I get older, I have a number of complaints and worries. You won't have any of these now, but you will in the future, you know, hopefully not for a while. But I have some management needs, management questions from me. But I'm also expecting when I go in and talk to the doctor that the doctor's going to say, you know, we've been studying medicine for a long time, and here are some things we suggest you think about, and here are some data we would like to get from you just to help us prepare for the kinds of questions we know you're going to have as you get older. So I think it needs to be kind of a two-way kind of a thing, discussion, not only just asking managers, well, what do you want us to tell you? You also, the Delta Science, conference when it has happened in real time, has a thousand people there, 1,000 scientists. They're all smart people. They should have some ideas, some recommendations as the doctors in the room of what kinds of things the managers really should be thinking about and should be providing data for to help them. Because we kind of know as scientists and as engineers, the kinds of problems they're likely to have an enduring interest in. You know, we have a lot of uncertainty in this world, but there are definite certainties about conservation of mass, energy, momentum, biology, ecology, economics, social science, that are always going to be important for the future. Just like when I go to see the doctor, he's going to have me do a blood test of all the standard things that he expects are going to be important for giving me advice on my health.
Thank you.
I really appreciate, again, you guys putting this together in this way and so quickly, and I apologize for the shortness of time, but we're out of time. And but I would encourage any of the board members who want to think about this and provide individual comments. I'm sure Rachel would be happy to accept those, and we look forward to see how this progresses.
Yeah, thank you all so much again. I really appreciate it. And if you do have other follow-up, we're happy to hear it. I'll stop sharing now.
Okay, any public comment on this?
There are none.
Okay, the next item is just our upcoming meetings. And all I'll say is our March meeting has been canceled. Our second meeting in March is canceled. And our first one in April is canceled. So the next meeting we'll have is our April meeting on April 16th. That'll be a two-hour meeting, and that is our next meeting. And the primary topic of that, will have Lauren Hastings come in and give us her report on her evaluation of effectiveness of past board reviews. And that'll be at least an hour of our meeting in April. Okay, move on to the next item, and that is our admin, a summary of action items.
Yes, so I'll try to be quick and summarize it in an email, but the first follow-up item for the science action agenda, if you do have individual comments that we weren't able to get to today, please send them over to me and I'll pass over your comments. The second follow-up item is that today's meeting, there was an agreement to go back to switching back to one meeting per month, but we're going to revisit how we do the staff briefing groups and trying to wrap up the water supply reliability review and monitoring enterprise review by the end of June. So if individual members do have comments on the water supply reliability review, please send them over to me because there's still an opportunity to comment. And I'll just leave that there because I know we're running short of time.
Is that it?
I'll summarize more in the email because I know we're running short on the clock.
Okay, thanks, Edmund. The item 10, are there any public comments for items not on the list, on the agenda?
There are none.
Okay, well, thanks, everybody. We're actually 2 minutes early, so thanks again for your time and effort, and see you all again in April. Stay healthy. Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Steve.